Dungeon.
Welcome back to Dungeon Court, everybody.
Dungeon Court
is back from recess.
Yeah.
Throwing to the wonderful bailiff, Emily Axford.
Crit is back in session.
Okay, that was tough.
Justices Tanner Hurwitz and Murphy presiding.
I like your little megaphone that you're using.
It's so tiny.
Our next case comes from Chaz.
Welcome, Chaz. Come sit down. Have a seat.
Chaz honestly sounds like they could be in Charlotte's Web CW.
Oh, yeah. Or right? Friends with Jaguar Johnny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Chevy
yeah.
Chaz.
Yeah.
To the honorable justices and the effervescent bailiff Axford, I present the case of the great rat slaughter of 2025.
Oh, no.
I DM for a party of four level 8 players in a Mad Max meets epic fantasy campaign. Recently, the party has been having difficulty with a faction of mutant rat folk and needed to fight their
biker
army.
Mice from Mars. You guys remember them?
of course, I know you remember.
Come on.
Am I on that wiki once a week?
Yeah.
Just kind of trying to remember what it was all about?
Yeah,
you better
these
believe
are
it.
Cool mice that rode motorcycles. Very Mad Max. I'll bet this person drew inspiration. That's if they're old.
Do you know? They did draw inspiration, but they drew inspiration from NatPod.
Oh!
The party needed
who draws
to
inspiration
fight.
from
Biker Mice from Mars.
Right. Yeah. Kind of the Biker Mice from Mars of the podcast space, I'd say.
They may have drawn inspiration, but they don't name check it, but we also do ask these submissions to be brief.
Yeah.
So it's possible that they didn't feel so they had the paragraphs to mention
Biker Mice from Mars. I would actually, to Caldwell's point, I do think we are maybe the Biker Mice from Mars of podcasts.
Right, yeah, critical roles like the Mutant Turtles, we're definitely the Biker Mice from
Biker Mars.
Well, anyway, so this party of four 8-level players had to fight their army of mutant rat folks with their own allies, using similar battle rules to NatPod for the two clashing armies. They went to war with the rats. What was supposed to be an epic showdown between two clashing armies quickly turned into a massacre in the party's favor. Ooh. They killed over 100 mutant rats with kobold stats in the first two turns of combat and barely took any damage, using a combination of magic items, fireballs, and cleave rules. I narrated how their allies began to celebrate surviving the battle, but the players were all silent until the fighter spoke up. We just murdered 100 sentient creatures. The party was collectively horrified at the devastation they unleashed on an army of kinda evil rat men. The druid jokingly asked why I made them do that. Justices, was I wrong for designing this encounter? Were my players wrong for not thinking to pull back any punches? Was Murph wrong for giving me this idea?
I ultimately blame our lead biker.
Exactly. Shit, I wish I could pull the lead character from Biker Mice from Mars, but I can't.
This is just how we do it on Mars. Squeak, squeak.
Yeah.
The bikes go squeak, squeak, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew it was going to be a battle, and like sometimes battles are massacres. I don't know. It seems buttoned up.
My only thought is that maybe it was fun for them to role play contrition. And so they were responding in the way that was the most fun for them.
Although
it would suck too,
because I will say at least the design element for me of trying to create that encounter was a lot of work. And if at the end of it, you guys just kind of razzed me and were like, why'd you make us do that?
Yeah.
I'd be like, what the fuck?
We wanted to solve a puzzle, not kill a rat.
Yeah.
Murph, or should I say Throttle, who is the leader of the party.
Oh, that's so sick.
Oh my God.
Throttle sounds like a Sebulba.
Let's start calling each other by our Biker Mice from Mars names.
Cool.
Let's take a quick sidebar, figure out who everyone is in Biker Mice from Mars.
Okay, well, there are only three.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Well, there's only three of us here.
Yeah, three of us here. The bros.
Jake is a guest.
Throttle. Vinny and Modo.
Okay. I'm on Dungeon Court. I thought it was established.
So Jake is clearly not one of them.
Right.
I'm a justice.
Okay.
I would love to be Vinny.
Okay.
Especially because it says a classic example of an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, especially during his early days as a freedom fighter.
Okay.
Can I be Grease Pit? Looks like there's a guy named Grease Pit.
That's actually cool.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Interesting.
There's someone named Rimfire.
Rimfire is
Modo's nephew. Yeah, you're Rimfire.
It's also Modo's nephew. Yeah, you're Rimfire.
Awesome.
Rimfire just sounds like you have like burning diarrhea,
yeah, really,
right?
Rimfire?
Yeah, don't cloacal kiss that
you
person.
Have
yeah.
to not Holy be shit. Called
Rimfire. It sounds like an OnlyFans.
The cast is star studded.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Malcolm McDowell.
Mark Hamill.
Wow.
Tori Spelling.
Yeah. Okay. Brian Whoa. Austin Green.
Luke Perry.
Leah Remini.
God.
This is nuts. This show rocks.
I think maybe, okay, if the audience will endure it, maybe we need to mixed bag.
This rocks.
All right, mice.
What
we
the
gotta
fuck are we
out.
Talking about? Biker mice from Mars?
Oh, okay. So there was a big slaughter. I was going to say, Murph, didn't you in your battle rules have a morale system built
yeah,
in?
Yeah, there was like, you could run away. So I will say that like, yeah, if your players chose to murder everyone, they for sure didn't have to because you guys, like most of the bad guys ran away in our thing. There's like the lines get broken and then the enemies retreat. So if they're, you know, destroying everyone, destroying hundreds at a time.
This is like the risk of almost like doing too well. Like if through your enemies, you're like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. But like if the rats had gone first and like gotten one of these characters down, there would have been no issue with killing all of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is like that one Invincible meme.
I
where
know
he's
exactly
like,
what you're talking about. I thought you were stronger.
I thought you were stronger and he's just covered in blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just punched too hard.
Yeah.
Such is the power of the Viltrumites, I guess.
Okay, so then who do you think should be sentenced in this case?
This is, well, yeah, I think this is a wrongful razzing.
Yeah,
to a certain extent.
I think so.
But then the submitter did call me out specifically and ask if it was my fault. And I would argue maybe you ran it wrong, okay?
Wait a second.
Because my players had a hard time.
Merv, your reaction right now is actually being more of a Vinny than a Throttle.
Wow.
What?
You're kind of acting like, you're kind of being a classic egomaniac with inferiority.
How fucking dare you?
Damn, Grease Pit, you got him.
Oh my God. I am the leader figure of the trio with a rat tail, okay?
Oh,
I'm logical, level-headed, rational, and calculating.
No, you're kind of acting like a Vinny.
Yeah, right. I'm the only one who has a rat tail. Although Emily could have a rat tail,
you
too.
Both could have rat really tails,
You both could have rat tails.
Can you imagine being the character designer and like drawing this mouse and be like, wait a minute, I'm going to give this mouse a rat tail.
Oh, I have a really good idea of what we could sentence whoever we end up sentencing.
Okay.
They have to draw pictures of us as biker mice.
As biker mice from Mars.
Right.
And Jake, what if Jake is our motorcycle and has a human face?
I thought I was Rimfire.
I don't think you've earned that
Jake
yet.
Jake is the motorcycle.
Jake is the motorcycle made of human skin. So he's still.
What? I don't want to be a guy motorcycle.
He's a guy motorcycle.
specifically
Throttle's motorcycle, aka me. I'm Throttle,
and we're in the sidecars.
Yeah,
there's two sidecars.
They honestly might end up making me Throttle and you Vinny.
First off, if I'm not Throttle, I'm fucking Moto.
This is fucking bullshit.
The great Gentle Giant.
Emily called fucking Vinny up top. Now she's trying to take Throttle from me, which took Moto off the table. It took fucking Moto off the table.
Just tell me who's Moto because I'm your nephew.
Moto is by far the strongest of the three mice, but despite outwardly looking the most threatening and aggressive, he's the most empathetic and sensitive of the group.
Fuck,
that's just
okay, that's
well
definitely
coded.
Not me.
No, that's I'm a Moto. Come on.
I think
you're a naked motorcycle.
Honestly, I could be, but I'm also thinking aspirationally because I don't think I'm actually a Vinny. I just think it's funny to be a Vinny. But actually, no, though, I am Throttle because I.
What the fuck? You can't. You're not rational. You do not.
I think Emily's fully Throttle. I think I'm Moto.
All right. So Jake's not even a motorcycle. He's a freaking tricycle.
That's two for Emily as Throttle.
No.
Do you also agree that Murph is a Vinny?
Classic Vinny behavior right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, fucking right, dude. I'm Throttle all the way.
I think Caldwell's the motorcycle.
No one
knew.
Wait,
don't
what either. Biker Mice from Mars was freaking 10 minutes ago except for me and Caldwell. We are throttled.
That's
not
fair. It sounded familiar to me. End,
okay? You two don't get a vote. You don't even know what these mice are. Okay?
If I just told you they were biker mice, you wouldn't know what planet they were from.
You never even played the game on Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis.
Okay, so who are we sentencing? And what are we sentencing them to?
Okay. I think it's wrongful razzing Murph's right. I think they were too hard on their DM. I think their DM maybe could have like beefed up the morale rules a little bit. But I think that like this, Murph, you can speak from experience. This is a hard encounter.
It's hard to especially when you're doing something large scale like that, you do have to set yourself up sometimes too. It's just like you might get whomped because if you go too hard and like 10 battalions of dudes get to go, they might just wipe out the party instantly, and that's no good.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, you get whomped. The players should have... This was a wrongful razzing, because if your players did want to, like, roleplay, like, I thought you were stronger moment.
Yeah, they wouldn't have said, why
like,
did you
do look
that?
At this. Look at the massacre. If they wanted to do that, that's fine. But the fact that they razzed you... It sucks because you just ran an objectively cool encounter designed by a throttle of a dude.
I actually wanted to say I actually do want to be Vinny again because I
what
read
the fuck?
Despite his hyper masculinity, Vinny is actually a very loving and caring individual.
That checks out. Yeah.
So oh, that actually is classic
Emily. I think
that does
feel good for me.
Yeah. I've been meaning to talk to you. All the kind of good things it about Vinny are Emily and all the bad things about Vinny are me.
He flirts endlessly with Charlie, who constantly rebuffs him, but anytime she does reciprocate, Vinny can only blush in extreme shyness.
Wow.
So yeah, this checks out. I am that, such a Vinny.
Oh, also, you have the same catchphrase, which is what a rush. You're always saying that.
Does he say what a rush?
He says what a rush, apparently.
Yeah.
That's not a mouse thing. It's just a rad thing to say.
That's an Emily thing.
It's a biker
really.
Thing.
It's also
a
biker mice from Mars thing. There's a wrestler who goes, oh, what a rush.
Okay, so what are we sentencing these players to?
Real quick, I got to look at what wrestler said that.
The mice from Mars
Murph
on
lost.
Bikes have completely derailed this.
Oh, duh. It's the Legion of Doom.
There you go.
Yeah, they stole that. I'm off the biker mice from Mars.
What?
You can't just steal from the Legion of Doom.
Should
that
we?
Is
oh,
that is
what a rush.
That is inconsistent, which I don't associate with Throttle.
Sorry, I'm back. Actually, I'm cool with the biker mice from Mars. They're back.
Okay, so what are you sentencing these players to?
So I think that these players have to purchase the Blu-ray of Biker Mice from Mars, watch the entire season, and then just slowly work it into their campaign moving forward.
Ooh. Yeah, you as the DM can be like, okay, you love these mice so much.
Yeah.
Learn about Honor Throttle. Them. Learn about whatever one Caldwell is.
Okay.
Learn I'm about Modo. Vinny.
I have a bike named Little Haas.
No, I'm Moto. You're Grease Pig.
Little Haas? That's cool.
No, you're... motorcycle.
You're a human. Jake? You're a skin
you're
motorcycle.
You're not Moto. Yeah. You're a motor geikle.
You're a skin motorcycle.
I'm a motor geikle.
You can be called, we can call you Rim Fire because fire blows out of your ass.
Like an exhaust?
Yeah. Exhaust.
When you're riding.
Shoots out of your ass.
Yeah.
When we ride.
I've never seen the show, so as long as that's a cool character, I'm on board. No.
Throttle has a naked mole rat that he rides around that shits everywhere.
And am I from Mars or am I from Uranus?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good.
No,
classic Rimfire.
So wow. ordered.
So
with that
ordered.
Pun, so ordered.
Fuck.
Next up, Foxicorn writes in, to the esteemed justices of the High Crit and the unsteamed crapster of a bailiff who looks like the guy from Monopoly, unless it's actually the High Sweetie Bailiff Emily reading this, in which case, please strike the previous comment from the record. Whoops. I forgot to. I present to you the case of the undeceivable lycanthropes.
Oh.
In our last session, in a town primarily populated with werewolves, an NPC bartender offered our party information in exchange for us causing a disturbance at the local opera house. When we attended the performance, our bard, in disguise and hidden, cast Major Image to create an illusion of an assassin whom we had previously encountered within the town up on the catwalk. The DM ruled that all of the guards immediately saw through the Major Image without needing to roll for it. His justification was that the bard would not be able to properly replicate what the assassin would smell like to a werewolf because the bard himself was not a werewolf. When the bard said, can I made it have smell like blood? The DM ruled that the sudden scent was too strong. And because it appeared so suddenly, the werewolves would have still automatically known it was an illusion without rolling. The encounter was ultimately underwhelming and the mood dropped at the digital table. Multiple party members expressed frustration at this ruling. Your honors, I ask you, was the DM within his right to decide that the werewolves are automatically immune to illusion spells since it's his game? Or was the bard right for expecting him to follow the same rules we do? We await your ruling with dog-like humbleness. Thank you.
Okay, so every Halloween when I'm walking my dog, she gets really fucking freaked out by a giant inflatable tarantula.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she knows it's not an actual tarantula and doesn't smell like one, but she still barks like crazy at it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I know we're not supposed to use real-life examples, but that's actually a pretty good example.
Right.
The inflatable tarantula precedent.
Because, like, even a dog, like, they're not only reliant on their smell.
Yeah. And if you're just counting on it to be a distraction, I feel like it doesn't matter if it doesn't smell right. It's just like they see an assassin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Setting up that your party is supposed to set up a distraction and then immediately being like, they instantly know it's fake, despite the fact that they use like a third level spell.
Yeah.
For like a pretty good plan. Like, this isn't silly. This is like they just, there's an assassin in the crowd and that would make everyone freak out and run. This is just, I don't even know what the fucking, cases like this, you're like, what did this DM want to happen?
Right, what do
like,
they want
what is the
happen?
Ideal thing? I guess a very specific thing, or they just wanted the players to fail, which either way, this sucks, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Major Image has a lot of rules. Like, there is an investigation check you have to do to discern if it's real or not. I think like the generous read I could give here is that maybe the DM could roll that with advantage because of their keen sense
but
of
just
smell.
But just roll, but like you could say.
So, right, but then just roll, then like interact
then
with
roll, just roll,
Right.
This is, again, you gotta bring in your players on the meta of the game a little bit because that will make this not feel like bullshit. If you brought that up, if you were like, they are werewolves, so when they run up to this assassin, I'm going to roll perception checks for them because they are, you know, perceiving based on smell. So let's go ahead and do a roll, your deception versus their perception.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels actually fun and has some stakes and is like a wrinkle to it. To just be like, it doesn't work is, I don't know, bullshit and railroading and not fun.
Right, especially in like a weird reason like, no, dude, that's actually they're sniffing. You didn't think of that.
It's like, also
you're pulling that out of your room fire. Excuse me for saying.
They're in a room full of other werewolves too. It would just smell like wolves in there too, right? Wouldn't there be an overwhelming amount of stink?
Oh yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
It would be kind of hard to pinpoint the one.
Well, if they're at the opera, you have to imagine that the wolves took a bath. So they maybe smell like dog shampoo, which is a pretty nice smell.
Oh, but then there's dog shampoo all throughout. There's dog cologne.
There's a lot of smells. There's a lot of smells going on.
Yeah, they've had their glands expressed. So like they probably smell pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They probably like, have a little like cute bandanas on.
For this DM, this is very unthrottle behavior. And this is very, let's face it, rimfire behavior.
Hey, listen to your Uncle Moto. You got dice? Freaking use them.
I'm just going to blush bashfully. And say, what a rush.
What a rush.
Just ask her out, man.
I'll say my catchphrase, vroom, vroom.
But you say it out of your rimfire.
Right.
Vroom. Jeez. Rimfire, what did you eat?
Okay, so who are we sentencing and what are we
definitely
sentencing them
this
to?
DM.
Definitely this is, the DM.
When you set up your players to be like, go do this thing, and then they go do the thing, and you're like, ha, gotcha, no rolls, just gotcha. Mm-hmm. It just sucks on every level.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing good about this.
Also, Major Image is one of those spells. I was playing an Illusion Wizard in a home game, and it's just like, it's... I feel like when you get to bust that out, it's such a fun moment.
It's like a pretty high, it's a pretty high level one.
Yeah,
too,
it's a high level spell.
Or is it like third level?
It's third level.
It's third level, but it
can
animate.
But third level is like meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Especially when it's something, if you're at a theater or something and you could just like create the image of a person obscured that looks like they're going to cause trouble like in the distance, that would make the crowd freak out.
Yeah. Also, they were up on a catwalk. I don't care how good your smell, like there is a limit to the range of smell.
Yeah, certainly
there
would
be some.
It's not
like echolocation.
Yeah. Some of these werewolves should be dumbasses and should like maybe a few of them maybe have a boss, a real throttle like character who can kind of see through, cut through the bullshit.
And like, did you roll to see if they have a head cold or not?
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah, what season
they
was
could
it?
Be stuffed up. Yeah, they could have allergies.
Up. Who knows?
Yeah. Lots to consider.
This is bullshit.
Okay, so what will you sentence them to?
Maybe the DM has to buy a human motorcycle for their players.
Oh yeah. That's cool. Even inventing a human motorcycle is like a service that we actually do kind of need.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess.
I mean, like, the ethics of Thomas the Tank Engine are pretty morally gray.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe something like that.
Yeah, because this isn't an animated role for me. Like, I want to...
You want to know how to come around
to this character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to go method with this.
I just watched The Machinist, and like sort of like an actor going through a physical transformation can be like really a compelling aspect of the story. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Jake turning into a human motorcycle is going to be like, it's going to at least get buzz going.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go bail with this
thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So in figure out how to turn, are we sentence the players to
drop schematics to turn Jake into Rimfire.
Yeah.
The DM, not the players.
Sorry, and then, the DM has to draw schematics of Jake as Rimfire and text that image to their other players without explanation. Then just say, does this look good, gang?
What are we thinking?
What are we thinking, gang? Does anyone have any notes?
Human motorcycle man.
Open to feedback. Open.
Yeah, actually,
this
I love
is
that.
A jumping off point.
Just open to feedback, and it's just a
open to parentheses positive feedback.
Open to positive feedback, and it's a picture of Jake as a skid motorcycle, a motorcycle. Open to positive feedback.
Okay, so ordered, and now I'm gonna do my fucking damnedest to get us off this Biker Mice from Mars
good luck.
Train, or rather motorcycle.
Motorcycle.
Yeah.
Moving to Shayla D writes. To the esteemed Justices Murphy, Tanner, Hurwitz, and the beautiful Bailiff Emily, howdy. I present to you the case of the disguised Rat King. Oh, whoops.
So many rats.
It's a rat king.
We're back.
We're back.
On the bike.
Rat King.
Can't escape the orbit of Mars.
I am a baby DM who just started a home game with my sister, girlfriend, and three friends we met at a cooking class.
Wow. Ooh.
The game was a murder mystery that was revealed a conspiracy involving the cult of Balor, secret tunnels, and a whole lot of rats. Before the final battle against Balor, I had my players face off against a conglomerate of rats who guarded the doors into the castle. The conglomerate of rats continually referenced that they served the Rat King.
This is so Biker Mice from Mars.
If it wasn't clear, I was joking. I said I was going to get us off that. Okay. My older sister and our bard declared in battle that she wanted to cast Disguise Self to become the Rat King. I warned her before casting that the Rat King was a specific person in the game and not an actual giant rat. I said she was welcome to guess who it was, but she insisted that becoming a giant rat was what she wanted to do. After casting, she proclaimed that the Rat King would, in quotations, of course have the ability to become a rat, and that they'd just never seen it used before. Per the rules of Disguise Self, I had the rats roll intelligence to see if the rats could see through the disguise, and if the logic made sense to them, which they deeply failed. I even had her roll a deception check to sell the disguise, and she rolled a dirty 20. Mm. However, even with that check, I declared that at best, the rat conglomerate became confused on why their king switched sides and was attacking their allies. However, they refused to attack her. Justices, was I wrong for being a stick in the mud and not letting my bard have this creative badass moment as the Rat King, or was I right to halt the shenanigans? For reference, my sister is also the type of player who named her character Dr. Louis Vuitton, ruler of the halflings. Mm-hmm. Yes, the entire species. She did end up switching to a more realistic character once we really got started. At the end of the day, my sister accepted my decision and we had an amazing finale. The entire table had a blast and my sister will actually be at DMing next.
Oh. Yeah.
My sister and I await your judgment with bated breath and we still chat about the moment quite often. This case was also read and approved by my sister to verify the accuracy of said event.
All right.
This is great.
This is interesting. I actually see both sides to this to a certain extent. where you're setting up roles, right? So that is what we tell DMs to do. Like, don't do the bullshit of like, this just doesn't work, or you just kill someone or for no reason or something like that. So DM set the roles and everything, and but also did a good DM thing, which is to be like, wink, wink, maybe don't do this. Maybe it's not going to work. But I will say it wasn't a bad... I get the logic of the sister saying the Rat King could turn into a rat, but just had never done that before. Right. I kind of get that logic. I do kind of get that logic. This, I think, kind of worked out how it should, which is like when players have a wacky plan like this and it works, it doesn't necessarily mean that all of the bad guy minions are going to fall in line, but that there would be confusion, or yeah, that they'd be like, cool, we're in the middle of a war, so we don't have time to verify your claim, yeah, but we're not going to kill you just in case you are the king.
Yeah.
It's better that it resulted in like kind of a change in the game.
Yeah.
Yes. You could work through rather than resulting in just like skip this fight.
Yeah.
Session over.
It also doesn't need to be like a permanent decision. I feel like this is one of those things where you can have the rats keep rolling on it to be like, wait a minute, something seems
off
here.
Yeah,
it's like like a wisdom save or something like that.
I thought it was a pretty decent compromise.
Yeah, yeah.
Just being like, they're not going to attack you, but they are confused.
Yeah.
Right, because the first time their leader transforms into a rat, they're also changing sides.
I guess because it's also pretty meaningful to have one PC who's not getting attacked in battle, because that, especially when that bard probably has healing word and could bring everyone back up, could potentially
right,
heal everyone.
Yeah, because, you know, we've even said this, like a nat 20 does not mean a guaranteed success. And this mm-hmm, wasn't even a nat 20. This was just succeeding
was
on the
20
check. But if your character walks into like a tavern or something and they say, this is actually my tavern now, and then roll a 20 on a persuasion check, the person who owns it isn't going to be like, yes, you're right, you're my god now, I give you the deed. But you could rule as the DM, you could be like, this person looks confused, and they start arguing with you, and you see they go into the back to argue with this person that had been in their family that had been trying to sell the bar. And meanwhile, you can maybe go steal what you wanted to steal by distracting the person or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Too much in the weeds metaphor, but I think you
get
what
got
I'm
it
saying. Yeah.
I was in the grease pit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
the
so
bartender is going to need to confirm with their manager whether or not.
Right,
you
exactly.
The
yeah. They're just like, I think you're nuts, but I have to go confirm this because right, you are convincing me.
So who do you feel compelled to sentence here?
I feel like the DM handled this properly. The only way I say this is a little iffy is if the DM said before setting up the roll, there's no way they're going to buy this unless you roll this or unless you beat them on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sister wins the roll. And then it's just
right,
like, wait, what do you mean they don't believe me? You just said that they would believe me. You have to be very careful about the way you word things for setting up expectations. Mm-hmm. That being said, if the DM was just like, if you try to sell this, I don't know. Even as I say that, though, it's like they're not going to fully buy that this is their king or whatever.
It seems
it's
fair
like,
to be like, this is, it's not going to go exactly how you want it to
uh-huh,
go. But
yeah,
if you roll well, something will happen. And I think they did that. So I, it feels to me like the DM here is in the right. So
yeah,
that has to mean the sister
so
is in the wrong.
Yeah.
If the sister found any fault, then they're incorrect.
Yes. Very technically, I think the sister is wrong. But I like how this played out and they're still playing today.
Yeah.
So I almost like, I'm hesitant to do too hard of a punishment.
Yeah,
I mean, anything,
there's no issue. There's no issue.
The sister is DMing the next campaign, so we can sentence the sister to work hard and make a great campaign.
Wow.
I like it.
No, but also,
nice,
they also can be, they don't have to draw the schematics, but they can be forwarded the skin motorcycle.
Mm-hmm. You got to work
and
in
and provide positive
feedback.
And provide positive feedback.
What are the things from Baldur's Gate, Murph, the like infernal machines that they can ride?
Yeah.
You got to put an infernal hell bike that's shaped like Jake into your campaign.
Yeah.
So ordered. Next up, we have from Anastasia W. To the inexorable crit justices and delightful bailiff, I present the case of druid-based animal products. The druid at my table has themed his character around being a chef. We get a kick out of the food he describes, such as pickled crickets and backpack mushroom coffee.
Yum.
However, the group began to theorize on how, since he was a druid, he could wild shape into a cow, produce milk, and then use this to bake. This led to nearly a half-hour debate where my players demanded druid eggs and druid milk, and even druid wool, while I desperately held my ground that it would not only bring up too many ethical quandaries, but also break the economy. I throw myself at the mercy of the crit should I let them milk the druid.
If they want to spend all of their days milking their druids for like a couple copper, this could just let them do
this
that.
This is something where it's just like, just give the players what they want and let them have their terrible campaign.
That's kind of true.
Yeah, milk your friend. Go ahead. Cool. Go do it.
You're a shepherd. You milk your friend.
Go
for
do
work.
It. Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Also, go sell the milk. You get a copper. Great. You want to milk them again? Okay. You milk them.
Yeah, how many wild shapes do you get?
You want to walk into town? No one needs milk. You already fucking milked them. You already sold the milk. The milk goes bad. Next day, you want to milk them? Okay, a few people buy milk.
Here's
you get
utter,
two copper.
You also have to do utter care because...
Utter care. Chafe. Yeah, you need some bag balm.
Yeah, you need bag balm to keep that utter from getting chafed.
And bag balm's not cheap.
Make them live this.
You're going to end up spending all that copper on bag balm.
Is there an equivalent exchange here? I guess not, because like when you are in wild shape, like you're burning that HP and then you revert back to your normal HP. So I guess like if you get chafed nipples, does it translate back to your real nipples when you're a human?
That's a really good question.
And I feel like it's a shocking that we never discovered the answer to that as moonshine.
I'm looking at...
If anything, I feel like I failed everyone by not having that come up.
Yeah. 100 episodes and we never brought up bag balm.
We did it. Moonshine did break a lot of these rulings that we're about to say here, because she was always very pregnant in her...
I think she definitely threw an egg at
wild
someone.
Wild shapes.
Metaphorically, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So wild shape, it says you assume the shape of a beast.
Oh my God.
I
love that this question sent you to confirm what it says.
Well, I'm
about
like,
wild
he finally left the Biker Mice from Mars.
Yeah. I'm off the Biker Mice from Mars wiki, which did give me a virus. No, I'm just kidding. Now I just get Biker Mice from Mars pop-ups. No, but I did assume, I was like, I bet you this is buttoned up in the rule book, because there's definitely, the designers were definitely sitting there being like, do druids lay eggs? Because they're going to ask. The players are going to ask.
Yeah.
And I think the answer is no.
Really? Read to us.
Starting at second level, you can use your action to magically assume the shape of a beast that you've seen before. Your druid level determines the beast you can transform into, which does kind of like, if you're transforming into it, then maybe you can lay an egg.
But no, you would. It's like you can shoot webs as a spider, because it says that on
in
the beast shape.
Yeah.
Like the beast shape says what, you know, like web is an ability.
I think you have to bring up Animorphs here, because I don't know if like the beast forms that you are using are like stored in Z-Space or something like that, because like you would not be able to gestate a full egg within the time span of your wild shape unless it is the same beast form that you're pulling from every time. So if you began gestating during your first wild shape and then continued to gestate during every additional wild shape, eventually I think you could lay an egg.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And but then okay, that's interesting.
Right. It's very interesting.
Do wild shapes go to a Z space?
Right. Is there an anamorph-esque Z space where your wild shapes are stored?
I can't think of a better question to add, Jeremy.
I think actually...
Hey, I don't want to take up too much of your time.
I think Jeremy Crawford is leaving D&D, so it might have been because of this question.
It's just the inbox is flooded.
Yeah.
It's all couldn't answer it.
Just his DMs are a mess.
One too many people asked if you could milk a druid.
Right, yeah.
And if wild shapes go to a Z space.
I would kind of... This doesn't break the economy. This is one of those questions, I think, where like... you're upset about the wrong thing, which is like, it's not going to break the economy. There are spells that are like, just create food and water.
Yeah.
So it's all make them ups.
The
anyway.
Only
it doesn't
thing
matter.
That it breaks is the collaborative storytelling that makes you want to do the work to show.
This is one of those things where I do think you could punish their players just by allowing them to do exactly what they want to do.
Yeah.
Because I think what they're trying to do, as someone who is relentlessly antagonized by his players, whenever I'm just like, go ahead, do what you want to do. Go ahead. The finger of death spell does make you shit yourself. Describe the shit.
So here's my thoughts on this, which is that as the DM, what you need to do is you need to like let them do this bullshit. But as soon as they've used their wild shape to turn into a sheep so they can be Sheeran, instantly have them be attacked by the enemy.
I love it.
Because you've already used that wild shape and then you're stuck as a sheep. Like, you only get two wild shapes. You get more later on.
Yeah, if you want to waste your, they that's such a fun
and
thing
unless,
to do.
Just and be unless like, you're a circle moon, it takes a full action to wild shape again.
Wow, yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah, that's just, yeah, that's
I think
really
that's a
funny.
Great idea. Give them what they want, and if they try to do it, have it happen one time, if hope they get it out of their system. If they try to do it again, attack them.
Because here's the thing. Those farm fresh eggs are going to draw attention. The big bad evil guy is going to notice. He's going to be like, wow, there's a lot of people at this farmer's market. I wonder why.
Big bad evil guy might be a werewolf and might smell those farm fresh eggs.
Mm-hmm. This is, I think, rules is written. You can argue that a druid shouldn't be able to lay eggs or be milked. That being said, I actually don't think this is that big a deal. Because like we were saying, this is a game of magic where people are like stumbling upon hordes of treasure. If they want to sell bottles of milk every once in a while for copper, fucking let them.
Hey,
I
DM,
guess.
Let them lay.
Let them lay.
Let them lay. I think they'll realize that it's not the game
that's
they want to play either.
Great. Yeah. Okay, you have a single chicken. Cool. How many fucking eggs does it lay
that's one
per
breakfast.
Day?
Well, cool. Like, can you now wild shape into a rooster? To then cloacal kiss yourself.
Oh yeah, you
can't.
Have to be cloacal kissed.
You need to be cloacal kissed. And which case, you need another druid to wild
instant.
Shape into a rooster.
You don't
rooster.
Instantly shit out an egg.
Meanwhile, other adventurers are winning gold and glory on the road.
Yeah.
Okay, so who are we sentencing?
Let's just sentence the players because they're too much, frankly.
Too much.
No, you are going to have to.
No, I think the DM needs to be sentenced to take a harder stance against their players.
That's
I think
true.
They need to.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
They need to what attack
are,
them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, DM, we're going to rule against you, but we just want you to go harder on your players. That's all we want. We just want to
attack them while they're milking
yes,
each other.
Attack them mid milk.
What better way to do that than by showing up to your next session, revving a motor geikel? The schematics work. I am a bike now.
Just have, yeah, just be like, if the world has druids that can be milked, just have like other druids in town that are selling their milk for better prices.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah.
It's a race to the bottom here. There's druid wool. There's druid eggs.
Yeah, it does make sense that other people would be doing a better job milking because a haphazard slipshod milking session while your druid is wild shaped for 1 hour isn't going to be the same as someone with a loving relationship with their cow.
Yeah, you should just go to town and there's just like a shepherd there who has a flock of sheep and has sheared them all.
Yeah.
And has great wool. And you're like, yeah, no, I'm selling 10 barrels of wool for 10 gold. Yeah. What do you have? You have a handful of hair.
Yeah, from one.
That you don't even know the skill to shear.
Yeah, make them roll like a constitution.
And that's when the bad guy attacks you.
Yeah. Make them do like a constitution check to see how much wool they have on them. Like, you can roll because you can't just be milked like right away.
Yeah.
You gotta build up some milk.
And
right?
Also, the only people that are gonna want this milk are freaks. They're gonna find out it's from a guy and they'll be like, I need that
milk.
I
need that milk. Yeah. I need that druid milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're punishing you to punish your players. Let them sell their weird milk for a copper. Let them waste their time. Attack them while they're down.
Yeah. Your big bad evil guy rolls up on his motorcycle.
Yeah.
Just runs them over while they're
just
milking.
Shoots them as soon as they come out of polymorph or out of wild shape. Says, you wasted your two wild shapes making half of a sweater.
You should have turned into a motorcycle like me.
So ordered. Next up, we've got Zeev, like Steve.
Hey.
May it please the crit and honor the bailiff, who we always respect every week. I present the hot and bothered case of the NPC affair versus the in real life marriage.
Uh-oh.
I run a homebrew campaign for my partner and three of our friends in a horror setting where the party's hometown was claimed by a lich in session one. One player wanted their character to have a wife. No problem. When they escaped the town from the Lich, most of the civilians were left behind, including, determined by the dice, the wife. Months passed as the party accumulates power, with this player having one driving goal: I must rescue my wife. Lo and behold, last session they heisted the town and freed all the villagers, including the wife. Gently foreshadowed in scries over time were some hints. The wife was not wearing the ring. The wife was spending a lot of time with the incredibly old and weak village wizard, also a captee. And on an insight check from the party cleric during the heist, it was revealed the wife has been having a strictly emotional, non-physical affair with the wizard.
Thank God.
And the marital relationship with the player's character is over.
This does feel like something I would do, to be fair.
The player who happens
not
to,
as the person, as a DM.
Yeah. The for player sure. who happens to be my wife in real life is upset that I did this without consulting her. I did not want the NPC to become a docile, loving follower for me to have to juggle once rescued, and thought it would be a fun, edgy twist. She felt that her wife was her character's NPC touchstone, who I concede had been unilaterally stolen. I come before you now. Did I have a duty to consult my player slash wife before having her NPC partner slash wife cheat on her? P.S. For the avoidance of doubt, no IRL marital issues, purely tabletop.
Yes.
Great. Good. Great. Disclaimer.
I will say this does get more interesting when it is your partner that you're doing this to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
This is why Vinny and Charlie Davidson never got together on Biker Mice from Mars.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, it is a kind of a good question. If Vinny, me, got their Charlie. Is that actually the best story that Vinny can tell?
Because you got to think that Vinny is like off on adventures all the time, and Charlie's just like back at the garage fixing motor vehicles.
would Vinny be even interested in Charlie if Charlie was like, yes, I am your docile follower? No, it's probably the fact that Charlie is her own person who works on motor vehicles. No.
Yeah. Vinny respects women mice.
I'm in love with Rimfire now.
Yeah. this is a little tough, right?
Yeah.
Because so this is something kind of similar that we did with like Eldermorn and Hank.
Oh yeah.
But we had talked, like Jake and I had talked about how it's like ill luck Henry, and he has an ex-wife, and he has like, we've done this stuff with like Hardwon and stuff. So we do know he thinks it's funny to have like these like ex-girlfriends and ex-wives and stuff in the story. It's just like a funny thing.
And have my character believe one thing, but have you kind of reveal another.
Exactly. So like,
The jean jacket comes up actually to mind.
We do. Yeah, the jean jacket was a violation for sure.
In fact, actually, the jean jacket was probably the closest to a violation, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
That was maybe the only betrayal.
Well, because that was a nat 20 to recall it. So I was like, I had already established that the jean jacket sucked. So a nat 20 allowed you to recall that it sucked.
Well, honestly, I think maybe the jean jacket, the reason it was a betrayal, it was kind of the only one that like wasn't like decided upon.
That's true.
Together.
It wasn't decided ahead of time.
Yeah.
So what I will say about this is I think that I would think this was funny if I was a character at the table. But I do think when it is stuff that is kind of like real worldy and stuff, it sounds like this is part of what made this person excited to play this character.
Yeah.
Like they wanted this motivation.
You know, all you're doing is kind of giving this love more of a story. You can have your character like role play trying to win the wife back.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought to even like be like, oh, maybe there's more.
But it sounds like it was like a real shitty character. It was like a weakling wizard, right? That was like kind of a coward. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. So it sounds like it is kind of just a betrayal thing, and like a thing to like set up a essentially like a bad guy or an antagonist.
Yeah.
You know what I think is almost the flaw, right? Is that you guys could have both had your way, but you didn't talk ahead of time. And I understand why you didn't want to, because this is like a funny reveal.
Yeah.
But because you were like, I don't want to bring like a significant other along on the journey.
Yeah.
So I am preemptively writing them out of the story. But maybe if you had just said to them, like, what do you want to do with your significant other going forward?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have them join.
I think this probably.
Then you could have maybe avoided this.
I think you could have done this in a way that wasn't spoilery.
Yeah.
Talking about it ahead of time, just being like, look, I don't really want to just role play your wife following you around.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
That just feels like one more NPC for me to remember that isn't adding to the story.
Are you cool with giving me this character and allowing the relationship to be messy, because it's not fun when when the characters get together at the end of a sitcom? That is usually when the sitcom gets bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, there's nowhere to go from there.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of players probably would have been cool with this, but you gotta check in with your players and make sure they're cool with it. So
I think ultimately it kind of was on your shoulders to maybe gauge your players' interest in this NPC and figure out how to go forward with it in a way that felt fun for you as the storyteller.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on board with that.
There's certain people that like we play with where if you were to have a scene where it's just like, okay, we're going to have the big bad evil guy's going to kill their best friend or something like that. And a lot of players will see that and be like, awesome motivation for my character. Mm-hmm. I will do the emotional scene and then I'll go on my revenge tour or whatever like that. But then there are other players who are like, well, actually, I designed this character to have this best friend or to save this best friend.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what I was excited about. And so now you've just killed the thing that I made my character based on. So if it's like, if this person created a character that was like a faithful partner that wanted to save this person and they saved them, and then it's just like, actually, it kind of wasn't. Not that it wasn't worth saving them, but it's like, I don't know. Sometimes it's just better to have the happy ending to a certain extent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially if that's what your wife was going for.
Yeah. Right?
The only other way I can think to do this is like, just you're occasionally rolling behind the screen to see if the wife is having like impure thoughts about this wizard. Just like to see if she's been like seduced by this wizard. Like you leave it up to the dice a little bit.
Yeah. I think you just got to bring up the exact concern that you have now where you're like, well, I don't want them to just be wandering around with this NPC. I think you could have said that like right up top.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that maybe it is on your shoulders, the DM. Yeah. Though I would have been delighted by this turn. I think that there was a conversation to be had. Jake Caldwell, what are you thinking?
I'm with you. This is such a fun wrinkle. I would love for my shirt to be ruffled in such a way.
But
I understand why instead of a ruffled shirt, it was ruffled feathers.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, nice. I sympathize with the instinct to drive the story like this.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, your wife told you she didn't like it. So you,
ultimately,
that is had a conversation.
That is the thing that sucks about it, right? Is that you're the host of this party.
Yeah.
So if someone's just like, I went to your party and I kind of had a bad time. That sucks.
Is that what we're sentencing?
Yeah. And so I would say this DM, we're going to rule against the DM. Although I do, story-wise, I think this is
it
cool.
Would have been great for me. Yeah. I would have loved it.
But you got to check in. I will say you are going to have to text your wife the schematics and say open to any feedback, positive or negative.
Wait.
What?
Yeah.
I think maybe as opposed to texting schematics, the wife wakes up. It's Christmas morning. Uh-huh. There's no presents for under the tree. That's weird.
Shit.
Maybe her partner forgot. But no, babe, check outside. What's that with a big red bow on it? It's a brand new motor Geikle just for you.
Wow.
The bow is just above my butt.
Your fiery flame.
Jake screams, and that's what the horn going off is.
Finally, a Harley Jakin man of my own.
So ordered. Okay, shall we into church?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Church.
Samson writes, "Forgive me, deacons of Lady Dice, for I have sinned and sinned hard.
About
7 years ago, I ran my first campaign, a homebrew game about plane hopping that lasted a year and a half and was a great success. This brings me to my confession. I fudged every single roll.
Oh,
not a single roll was honest. Oh. I just decided what number would be fun for the moment and went for that. Sometimes I didn't even roll at all. What? I just pulled a number of or consequence out of my ass and went with it.
I'm going to throw up.
I don't regret it, however.
This is not a confession.
The game was a success. So the story from my mind palace was clearly great.
Cool.
However, I do roll sincerely now. And recently I've been rolling not so great. So if you could just throw some my absolution my way, that'd be really great for me. Cheers. Love you guys, Sam.
Okay. I mean, we've talked about Hail Marys before.
This is
we've talked about penance. I think you got to earn this, friend.
This is very unthrottle-like
behavior.
Come
back to us with some self-reflection. Journal and self-reflection watch Biker Mice from Mars.
You are not ready for Dice Christ's forgiveness. You need to watch Biker Mice from Mars. You need to learn throttle's decisiveness and ability to adapt.
And you need to learn Vinny's blushing extreme shyness.
Look, ultimately, you're just hurting yourself, right? Because some of the best story moments in campaigns are from dice rolls that you did not expect to happen, from character moves, from things that were not planned for. And ultimately, you're doing yourself and the game a disservice. So we will wait for you to come back.
Having watched all of Biker Mice from Mars.
After you've watched all of
As we intend to ourselves, by the way.
Yeah. And with that, so not forgiven.
So not even close
so
to
ordered.
So not even close
so
to forgiven.
Ordered.
Even kind-hearted Modo cannot forgive you.
Yeah. With that, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Oh, everybody get ready to rev those motor
revving with the motor
geicles. Vroomin'.